Amen. Standing on the promises of God, there are times in life where everything else will let you down. But the promises of God are as sure as I'm holding this book in my hand. That's promises of God. So thank you, Micah. Excellent choice of songs. And when we were singing, I need you, oh, I need you, every hour I need you, I hope, that was a deep prayer from the bottom of your heart. And I just really was inspired singing that song. And especially that little phrase, that holiness. And that's probably because of what the Lord laid on my heart to share this morning is getting a grip on the holiness of God. What is it? And that song basically said it all. Holiness is Christ in me. So thank you for leading in those songs. And I think that was the second time somebody referenced the Legos this morning, which I had left behind, and I didn't miss them. I don't normally I don't play with Legos enough, but they were still under the pulpit, so I finally put them out in my van. But in the message, I mentioned that I just really wish I could have had some artwork, you know, and I was trying to build something and show you what I was in my mind, and I wish I could have had a picture of a Waterworks Lego church. Well, thank you, Amos. He worked so hard that Sunday afternoon, went home and meticulously wrote everybody's name down on a Lego block and built this amazing Waterworks church Lego house. I think he sent it. You sent that on the men's chat, right? Yeah. So that was pretty inspiring. I should have put that up. Actually, I think he had a little bit of help with technology. It probably took you maybe a minute or two, but it was just, it's beautiful. The concept, we are a body, and I just never want to dismiss that from our minds. We're not just a loose hand in the sand like another illustration that was used, but we're a body. So hopefully we can have that experience this morning. So for a message this morning, a little bit of an intro, there are moments in our life that change us forever. And I wonder if we would stop right there and open it up, give everybody 1 minute, reflect on your life, think of a minute or a moment that you experienced that changed your life forever. Sometimes it's a conversation. Sometimes it's a word that somebody said to you. Negative or positive. I think of the young man that stood up in church to pray and had the most untheologically correct prayer ever in his life. And he was walking out of the church and he said, he vowed to himself that I will never, ever, ever put myself in that vulnerable situation again. And somebody met him at the back door and said, I want to assure you that whatever you do for the Lord, I bless you 100%. And those words changed his life forever. The man went on to write many, many amazing Christian books. Sometimes it's a crisis. Sometimes it's a loss. Sometimes it's a miracle. Moments where God is incredibly real. Now, I just love to know where all of your minds are going. One of my favorite accounts in the book of Isaiah is exactly what I'm talking about. Isaiah had an experience with God that changed him forever. So I want to just kind of read the story, make some comments about the story, but I ultimately want us to step into the story with the perspective of God changing my life and God changing your life. If you want a title, Seeing God Changes Everything. Let me say that again. Seeing God changes everything. And I think, well, we know, we often talk about being in a very busy world where it's hard to slow down and relax and so on. And I think part of my struggle is in the busyness and the demands, just stopping and seeing God. Not my schedule, not my list of things to do, not my accomplishments, not my failures. Seeing God. That changes everything. And it changes our perspective of Him, of who He is. It changes our perspective of ourselves and what His work is in our lives and what our purpose of our life is. Again, seeing God changes everything. So, Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, I'm guessing you're fairly familiar with the account. It's one of my favorite stories in the book of Isaiah, and maybe even the Old Testament. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high, lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. Twain he covered his feet. And with twain, I'm sorry, face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So let me stop there. Did everybody catch that? Did everybody catch that Isaiah saw God? He was on a throne, and there were angels. They're called seraphim. And they had how many wings? Six. Two wings to fly. That's one third of all the wings just to fly. No, normally wings are for a purpose to fly. Four wings to cover because of the holiness of God. Two-thirds of the wings are just like face, feet. I want us to get it. Sometimes we read over it. So in verse 3, one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I don't know how I would illustrate that, but just think about that. An angel talking, or two angels talking to each other, and the posts of the door. Imagine, here's some posts. Imagine if a voice from the Lord came, and all of a sudden it shakes and shakes, and all of a sudden filled the whole sanctuary is filled with smoke. This is what Isaiah saw. And he responded in verse 5. He said, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for me?" And then said I, "Here am I, send me." And I probably should read the next passage, but the next few verses, he heard the voice saying, "Go and tell the people." And basically, go, but it's going to be a ministry that's going to be as difficult as you can imagine. Nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to want to listen to you. And he says, "Well, how long?" "Well, until there's nothing left. Just be faithful." Imagine if you would have that assignment. Go do something that nobody wants from you. How long? Just till there's nothing there anymore. Wow. But I want to come back to the title. Seeing God changes everything. When you see God, Revelation, I remember a long time ago, I shared a message, I think that was way back in Grenada, in Revelation 1. John, you remember the amazing vision that he saw, the revelation of Jesus Christ? And it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Seeing God changes everything. In the first verse, it says, the year that King Uzziah died. You know, that's more than a date in a calendar. That's more than, like, what's today, August 9? That's far more than a date. Uzziah had been king for many years, and he basically represented, I mean, for the most part, he was a good king. And he represented stability, strength, and security. And you know, that's the core of the human longing. Every one of us wants stability. We don't really like when things are shaking and unstable. We like stability. We don't like to just feel weak. Uzziah represented stability, strength, and security. And he died. So it's far more than a date. It's the context for him seeing God. And I am convinced that there was national uncertainty, national insecurity, and so on. But Isaiah discovered something. While the earthly throne may have been empty, the heavenly throne was occupied. Seeing God changes everything. The circumstances had changed, but God had not changed at all, and we do have those times. When everything around us seems to be shaking, we just need to look up and see who is on the throne. So let's say it together. God's on the throne. Ready? God is on the throne. Let's say it a little bit louder, like we really are convinced. God is on the throne. One more time.
God is on the throne.
He is. Seeing God changes everything. Isaiah didn't see the problem. He saw God. And sometimes we need to ask God, or sometimes I do. I ask God to change the circumstances, and that's not wrong. Every one of us has that longing for, what did I say? Security, strength, and stability. But sometimes when we ask for things to change, maybe God wants my perspective to change. When our vision of God becomes bigger, our problems will become smaller. Before God changes maybe what's around me, he wants to change what I see, who I see, how I see it, my perspective. And the first word of the encounter was that he heard was, holy, holy, holy. And I know I can't wrap my mind around those words. And I've heard messages, complete messages on the holiness of God. It's that completeness, perfectness, complete purity, holiness, whole. And we were singing that song, holiness is Christ in me. I'll be just blunt. Sometimes I go to pray and I don't even feel like praying and I don't know how to pray. I'm sure you can't relate, right? Okay, it's prayer time. I think Jesus taught us a model prayer because he knew that that's how we would have those experiences. I probably pray the model prayer. I don't repeat it. I'm just for repetition's sake, but I use it as a model. And almost every time I Father in heaven, oh, you're my Father. And I think there's a reason that it says, hallowed be thy name. That means reverent, set apart, holy. And I just want to reiterate that Isaiah did not have a casual encounter with God. He encountered a holy God. It wasn't a cool experience. It was one that shook him. Often we want an encounter with God because we want comfort, blessing, direction, maybe a breakthrough. But Isaiah's encounter started with the holiness of God. And I'm going to venture to say, you will not have a meaningful, true, real, genuine experience with a holy God without being confronted with who he is. I can think of a few books that are on the market, probably bestsellers, that have just kind of radically changed proposed an idea of change on who God is. I always get uneasy. I do. I just think the healthier we have our concept of a holy God, the better off we're going to be. That does not include a harsh, only seeing God as a harsh judge. No. The holiness of God is a complete mixture of the justice, the power, the strength, the judgment, with the mercy, the love. That's our Father comes before hallowed. So even in that little glimpse of the model prayer, I just see complete balance. And you can just join me in that. If you don't know how to pray, just take that Lord, take the model prayer and just go through it. And you can easily make 6 points out of it and just let your mind wander and talk conversationally for 10 minutes and boom, an hour is gone. I don't think that I pray for an hour repeatedly, but it easily can happen. Holiness. We don't need a bigger experience. We need a bigger vision of God. I find it so ironic that the moment he saw God, it's like he just got almost consumed with himself. That's not how I wanted to say it. He became very aware of himself. And he said, what did he say? Verse 5, woe is me. Now, I know that we have Christ in us, so the part of having Christ in us, I don't think we should have woe is me, but honestly, I still often look at myself, and I remember Mel Allgaier Sr. Most of you don't remember him at all. He was a minister at Myerstown when we first started going there, and I remember he used to often say this. He would say, the closer you get to God, the dirtier you're going to look and feel. Anybody remember that? I'm sure you remember. Yeah? The closer you get to God, woe is me. So we said God is on the throne. Would anybody dare to say that with me? Woe is me? Here we go. Woe is me. Let's say that together. Let's actually do it. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Woe is me, for I am undone. Now that's of ourselves. That's not the Christ in me part. A vision of God in his holiness is always going to leave us of ourselves. Woe is me, I'm undone. And I am convinced that moments like that, we almost forget about other people's problems and shortcomings. And we live in a world that is so full of people pointing others' shortcomings out that it's the focal point. It don't happen in the presence of God. Ironically, Isaiah 5, the chapter right before that, I read it this morning, and I circled them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. If you're right there, look at verse 8, woe to them. Verse 11, woe unto them. Verse 18, woe unto them. Verse 20, woe unto them. 21, woe unto them. 22, woe unto them. Okay. Woe to them, woe to them, woe to them. See God, woe is me. Seeing God changes everything. Seeing God brings humility. It really brought Isaiah closer to the light, and he could clearly see what he felt about himself. I'm undone. So he really was convicted. He wasn't rejected. Sometimes God reveals something in us, and he's not saying, I don't want you. He's saying, I love you too much to leave you this way. Seeing God changes absolutely everything. Sometimes familiarity can become dangerous. I've actually heard somebody say already, the Bible is just so familiar. I just don't see anything new. I actually heard a man say that. Actually, it just stunned me to when I heard it. But the older I get, and the more you study the Bible, you come to a passage, and maybe you studied it five times, and you think you know everything. It's actually dangerous. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not dangerous to study the Bible, but it's dangerous to depend on familiarity, and you lose the curiosity and pressing into. Isaiah knew about God. He already knew he was a prophet. He was already serving. But something happened when he really saw him. And sometimes we get very familiar. And I just think it's so good for all of us to just seeing God, knowing God, pressing into God. God, I want to know you. I want to know everything about you. And that won't happen without just your things about yourself becoming very, very aware. And I just think this story is so beautiful. It's almost like the New Testament or all of God's story wrapped up in a man's experience with God. I just appreciate, it's almost like Isaiah couldn't even get the words out of confession and acknowledging. And God is on it. Look at verse 6. It's like, then flew. And the seraphim came over, and I don't know what it actually looked like, but getting an altar, hot altar off the coal, and hot coal off the altar. And what did Isaiah say? He identified lips. My lips are unclean. So the hot coal didn't go on the foot. What I see here is what we articulate to God. God responds right. He's on it, and so specific. It's almost like the moment you confess it, he's on it. But he's specific. Isaiah said, "My lip, I got your lip." I just see God. God's grace. Isaiah had nothing to cleanse himself. God, he had to rely on God. And I just think that is such a beautiful picture of where you and I live. Just God's grace. God provides the cleansing. I just appreciate Isaiah's what happened, his humility, his confession, and experiencing conviction. And by the way, this is probably a good time to just insert something that I've said many times, but I don't recall. I'm probably sure I said it here sometime. But I've got tripped up a lot in my lifetime with condemnation versus conviction. You know, condemnation says you're hopeless. You're disqualified, and God doesn't even want you. You're too bad. And it's not that specific. It's like a cloud. The condemnation is kind of like a big cloud over you and you can't identify. Romans says, who is he that condemneth? It's like an accusation, accuser of the brethren. That's the enemy's work. Conviction is so different. Conviction is, my lips are unclean. It's specific. That's conviction. Condemnation says you're hopeless, you're disqualified, God don't want you. Conviction says this needs to change, and I'm here. God, I'm asking you to cleanse me. Condemnation actually drives us away from God. It drives us into, listen carefully, hiding and loneliness. And you can be in an auditorium of 500 people and be hiding and lonely. That's what condemnation will always do. Conviction, on the other hand, will always draw you closer. Holy Spirit 101, John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, what? He'll convict or reprove the world of sin. And that's drawing. Isaiah came into God's presence saying, woe is me. And he heard, he came out, your guilt's taken away. It's grace, God's loving mercy and grace. But it followed seeing God, confession, and allowing himself. I mean, he could have ran. If you'd come after me with some hot coals, I'm not sure I'd stick around and say, yep, I've had it. There was an element of faith and trust. There was an element of, sure, God, I'm willing. So we just really need God's grace and God's mercy. The God who reveals our sin is the God who will also provide the cleansing. There's one of my favorite New Testament verses is, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's a promise. It's a conditional promise. If we walk in the light, not in the darkness, as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. We won't be in hiding and loneliness. And then it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. And that word cleanseth is an ongoing. It didn't happen back when I first got on my knees. It is an ongoing process. Cleanseth and cleanseth and cleanseth and cleanseth. Ah, the blood of Jesus Christ. So it cleanses us. So the next shift, I'm going to move into another point. Hearing God is, I would say, always leads to a calling. And so this all just happened, and then Isaiah, I don't know, if it doesn't say he listened, but it says that he heard a voice, verse 8, after the cleansing in verse 7, the iniquity is taken away, sins purged, and then in verse 8 he said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send? Who will go? It's almost like a burden from the Trinity. Like a conversation between the Father, Son, and Spirit. And who will go? There's needs. Who will go? And I am going to suggest that I'm back to seeing God changes everything. The encounter did not end with forgiveness. God didn't cleanse Isaiah so he could sit comfortably in God's presence and just enjoy the dream. He cleansed Isaiah for something he had for Isaiah to do. And it wasn't going to be a fun ministry. It wasn't one that he could just pack a photo album full and just, wow, this was great. It was a hard, hard ministry. Bible doesn't say it, but historians would say that Isaiah's life ended by, I forget where, but I think he was one of the ones sawn in two. Hebrews 11 references that. Others stoned, sawn asunder. History would say that Isaiah was cut right in half. Seeing God changes everything. So I really believe that we need to see God. This is a dangerous message. when I was basically done studying, it just hit me. Wait a minute, I am so against seeking experiences. That Jesus said, he talked about those that seek after a sign. He doesn't speak positively at all. So there is a danger. I don't want to leave anybody at the end of this message with, I need an experience. I really want to leave us with I just want to see God. And I don't believe Isaiah stepped, whether it happened in the temple or where Isaiah actually was when he had this, I believe Isaiah was just honestly struggling with life. Security, stability, strength, what's going to happen? I already am a prophet. And then in a crying out to God moment, don't seek for an experience. Seek God, because seeing God is going to change everything. So I believe we really need to conclude with, God, when I really see you, I'll see myself. It is only when I see myself, I'll actually know what to pray. Whether it's lips or whatever it is, maybe it's my feet. My feet are going places. My hands are doing things. And whatever it is, and the cleansing, and I really believe purpose is going to be the end result. And I know I'm maybe you don't struggle with me in sometimes, what am I doing? What? I really believe that seeing God changes everything. And you might be in a place right now where you believe you are totally faithful to God's calling on your life, but it's just like, what is really happening? Or what is going on? Results are not up to, or in our shoes, but just, or in our hands, or responsibility. It is just being faithful to God. And you know, I asked us to say in unison, God's on the throne. I asked us to say in unison, woe is me. Could I ask us to say one more thing? Could I ask us to say, here I am, send me? And that simply could be to my neighbor. It could be to, I look back at my callings and they were so sometimes unexpected. And I can think of three times where I said no, and they came back and said, are you sure? Okay, that takes some guts. Are you sure you're hearing the Lord right? One time it was just for a speaking assignment. Here I am, send me, is what I'd like us to say. Are we ready? Or you can, if we're not quite there, we can just kind of lip sync. Are we ready? Here am I, send me. That's availability. Or here am I is availability. And send me is absolute surrender. The Bible tells us we are bought with a price. The blood of Jesus is what it cost for you and me to be in the kingdom. And we're bought with a price. So that's when I think of purchasing, I think of an economy. So in God's economy, he has the right and privilege to do with us whatever he wants to. And Isaiah didn't say where first. He didn't say how difficult is it. In fact, if he would have got all the whys and the wheres, I'm not sure if he would have really came out at that place, but here am I, send me. And that definitely doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. God's assignment for Isaiah was not easy at all. In fact, it was told that people are going to resist him. But I believe what we really need is a fresh look at God's holiness, God's grace, God's presence, God's calling, and just surrender over and over and over again. And some of us, I can identify sometimes in my life where I wouldn't say I was running, but I was sure resisting. And we know the story of Jonah. Our prayer should be, Lord, let me see you. Let me know you. And then God will fill in the blanks because I'm coming back to seeing God changes everything. Let me see your holiness. Let me see your glory. Let me see and understand that the whole earth is full of your glory. Let me see my life through your eyes. Let me hear your voice. Let me know your presence. Here am I. Send me. I want to come back to acknowledging the danger again. I don't want to leave anybody with the feeling that I need an experience. Because we live in a real world that voice is out there. But I didn't identify my points well, but there was five. Seeing God, seeing yourself, receiving cleansing or grace, and then hearing God and responding to God. Encounter leads to surrender and mission. And I believe when we truly encounter a holy God, we see him differently. We see ourselves differently. We have a better understanding of his grace. And we even respond to his calls differently because seeing God changes everything. I trust that the little journey through Isaiah 6 inspired you. A holy God, woe is me, will lead to a life of incredible purpose and mission. Let's all stand, and we'll have a closing prayer. Of course, we can have a song, and you can consider yourself dismissed. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we're here as a body of believers, and we acknowledge we live in a busy world, a world that's scurrying and hurrying, and we do struggle to just press into you and to see you and know you. We're not looking for an experience, but yet we truly want to see you so we can see ourselves, so that we can be cleansed, and so that we can hear your voice, so that we can be sent wherever you want to send and spend us for your glory. Thank you again for your love and mercy, which is shown so vividly in the story of Isaiah. May that be our portion as you send us from here. In the name of Jesus, amen.